Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take this all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Sorry, what'd you say?
Sorry, we're covering steroids.
We are.
We're just covering steroids.
We're just covering steroids.
Let's not gloss it over at this point.
I don't know. I'm certainly not somebody, and we'll just jump into it here. I'm certainly not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I screw it all up?
I do need to say that the show this time around is brought to you by Celebration Cinema, who is bringing you Ronda Rousey, Kat Zingano on the big screen. That will be not this week, but February 28th, and we will be broadcasting live the Thursday before, so you'll actually catch us actually at Celebration doing this show live.
Have you talked to my agents about this?
Not your agents, because you actually don't need to be there, but the rest of us will be live.
Thank you for making me feel welcome. My agent's not going to like what you just said.
We will be doing that in 2 weeks, so that'll be fun. So it's brought to you by Celebration Cinema, and the exciting part is the likelihood of Kat Zingano and Ronda Rousey being a part of what we're about to talk about is slim to none, since both of them are very vocal about it.
because that's meant something in the past.
Well, I don't think they will either.
I don't think they will either.
But so I want to thank Celebration Cinema for continuing to be a great partner with Way of the Warrior, and now we can just talk about steroids. So I want to set the table before we talk about actually what happened. And I want to say that in 2014, there were only 5 fighters actually caught for PED use.
Okay.
Okay? In January of 2015.
we're a month in, folks.
We have caught 4 fighters already.
All right.
Okay, so if you missed the news, Hector Lombard failed a test prior to UFC 182. He failed the test afterwards is what he did.
Right.
With some weird designer drug. And if you missed the Joe Rogan rant this week, you should check it out. But some weird designer drug clearly looks like something, Ken, that would have been used as a masking agent. You know, as you've heard Victor Conte talk about, you know, getting the drugs to be ahead of the test. This looks like one of those things that would have been ahead of the test, because most people, when it broke, A, were not surprised it was Hector Lombard, because he's already been busted once before.
Right.
And B, were not surprised, well, were surprised about what it was, because most people had not even heard of it.
Desoxymethyltestosterone.
Yes, which is a designer steroid, a new category of steroids.
Are we surprised? I mean, not that Hector Lombard's not a world-class fighter, but man, he's a guy on the card. I guess I would expect Anderson Silva to be able to afford the scientists and the designer drugs and the things that you would need to do to beat a test. I guess I look at a guy like Hector Lombard, and again, I'm not trying to take anything away from him as a fighter or a cheater, but he's not necessarily that dude you would expect. Oh, he's rocking the designer steroids. How prevalent is this at this point?
Well, I tend to lean on Joe Rogan, because he's obviously the insider's insider, who says he thinks, you know, when you see a test like this and you see Anderson Silva, which we'll talk about in a second because he failed another test, when you see tests like this getting failed left and right and left and right, that 60% of the league is probably on something. And here's what's fascinating. When we talked last week about Anderson Silva, we talked about this idea that you knew prior to the fight that he was on something and you let him fight, and the dangers of doing that. And that is unfortunately not unprecedented, because Hector Lombard is informed of the failed test on January 13th, or the NSAC is informed on January 13th. They signed the Rory McDonald fight on January 17th.
That's very so. Not this isn't even an Anderson Silva. Oh man, he's already on the card.
No,
we got to sell
this
a case.
This is a thing they do.
This is a guy. Well, I guess we're gonna have to talk about it. And I know are they holding a press conference next week about this?
Monday, to apparently explain away the crisis of.
Well, we have to figure out what is in and out of competition. I mean, as much as you want to be mad about Hector Lombard doing steroids, well, I mean, he didn't have a fight signed, right? Because they didn't sign it until 3 days after his test.
So this is what we're going to have?
No, out of competition, take whatever the hell you want, in competition,
we don't straighten up?
We don't know what their deal is, and I hope they'll explain it coming up on Monday, but until then, This dude was clearly trying to cycle on and off in between fights, and he just kind of got caught up in where they signed him and where they tested him out of competition, because that's still an out-of-competition test. I know that Sean's with Kevin Lee right now getting ready for this weekend's event. That's one of those questions I would have for him is, what do they tell you as a manager, as a fighter, as a guy who's in a camp, when they're going to test you? Are they just able to test you at all points? Because that's what I thought up until a couple of months ago when they said, no, that John Jones thing, that's not a big deal. We don't care about that. That's now not a big deal because it was recreational, because coke is awesome. I don't know what their reasoning is.
Well, you know, again, with the John Jones one, much like the Kung Lee one, the Kung Lee, he got off on a technicality because the way that the sample was handled was not according to the chain of custody that you're supposed to do. The John Jones thing, he gets away with a slap on the wrist because they weren't even supposed to test him for the awesomeness that is cocaine.
Right. I mean, and that's up to you to decide how awesome it is. That's not what we're here to discuss. But that I guess I'm hoping Monday we get some clarity, because we have what I think are fairly knowledgeable dudes that are on this show that have been in and out of here the past couple of weeks, and none of us can seem to nail down what exactly they're looking for and when they're looking for it at this point. We've obviously had a lot of steroid busts. Are we going to keep having busts and they just keep getting announced after fights? Because, you know, you and I have a mutual friend. He works over in a broadcasting station here in town, and you posted about the latest Anderson Silva bust.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, he's a guy who follows it as casually as you can follow it. He says, they're never going to tell us about this until after the pay-per-views are done. They can't risk the dollars. And that's the perception right there. They're not going to risk the dollars. They let John Jones get away with the coke. They let Anderson Silva get away with the steroids. Do they even care, Eric?
Well, and I do, if you look at this timeline, not only do they not care, but they're clearly setting a precedent of trying to change the way the organization, meaning the Nevada Athletic Commission, even works, because if Hector Lombard fails a test on January 13th, you have to suspend him for 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
But you, 4 days later, sign a fight with Rory McDonald in March.
Mm-hmm.
That would fall, Ken, in the...
Is that the Maya
no,
card?
It was the Matt Brown...
okay.
That they got scrapped. You know, so that whole thing kind of fell apart. But that was where it was supposed to be in March. And... I just don't know.
Did they not have the test at that point? We're looking at the timeline.
Well,
should have had the test. Did they have the results? He did the test 4 days before. Do they have the results within 4 days when they don't have a fighter? And I'm not trying to make excuses for the UFC, but if they don't have a fighter that's actively signed to a fight, are they going to get those out of competition tests in 3 or 4 days?
Well, I guess it seems like, and maybe this is where I need to hunt down somebody who does blood testing for a living and find out how this works, because I'm approaching it for, let's take a really extreme example. Either pick one, Ebola or AIDS, right?
So okay,
you go
all right.
In, well, no.
You went extreme. Well done.
So what I'm saying is, like, I'm picturing that if I felt ill and they did a blood test for Ebola, if they found out that I had Ebola, they would act pretty quickly. And and I guess I'm assuming that if your job is to prevent cheating, which is what a commission is, one of the jobs a commission is supposed to do, that if you get a positive test, that somebody should, I don't know, call you.
I would
it's
think
not like
that.
You need a horse to ride it to you so that you can read it, you know, or they're going to use it on a telegram and you've got to transcribe. We live in an era where this is instantaneous communication. And so if you've got the result happens on January 13th, I'm assuming you have it on January 13th.
And, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing to see this press conference is on the 18th. I think Silva has his hearing, right?
Yes.
Doesn't Nick have his? Do they have the hearing the same day? Because that's worth the fight pass, $9.99 alone.
They probably do.
And
he's
I think
not even going to show up for it.
Well,
so
I think Lombard's got to show up too, because I mean, basically, when these NAC meetings happen, is when they can actually
it's not in. It's like the Supreme Court, so you got to.
This is like the best booking they could have ever had for one of these athletic commission meetings. All of a sudden, they've got headliners falling in their lap left and right because they got to show up this one time a month they meet, and that's going to be the day before. So I'm very curious about the UFC timing here. How much are they going to hedge their bets against? Well, let's see what they tell these guys the day before we decide how strict we have to be.
Well, and so let me ask you this question. And it's February 18th. It's not actually Monday. I misspoke. But let me ask you this question as a fan. You know, you talked about our friend Joe and how he was talking about they're not going to tell you because they need to protect the pay-per-view dollars. And you said something that I thought was very interesting. And that is that you're more interested in when than what. As if, and I know you don't mean anything by this, but that's the question, right? It's like, we don't care if they're on steroids as long as it's not in the competition.
No, I certainly care. I find it more than interesting that we don't seem to have a when as an explanation. Because if you don't have a when, that's why everybody's doing the steroids, Eric. Well, okay. Because they feel like they can do them whenever they want. You know, I don't agree with Paul Cicchini, who used to be on the show, and he lives in Indiana now or something like that, Illinois.
Peoria.
I don't know. I'm
Peoria.
Not sure.
Yes.
No, I keep up with him. He's got a Facebook.
He does.
Follow him online, kids. He basically said, let them all do steroids. I'm not of that ilk. That's not what I'm saying.
Nor am I.
But at a certain point, you have to decide what's going on here as the UFC. And I think a bigger statement for them would have been to come out and after this Hector Lombard test and say, here's our expectations of our fighters. Here's when we're going to test. Here's what we want. But instead, Dana White, Lorenzo Fertitta, they're going to wait until the day after this, and let's see how much the Nevada State Athletic Commission is actually pissed about this. If they're not too pissed, maybe we won't be too pissed. That's almost what it feels like to me.
Well, and I don't even know how, you know, when I see this stuff and I post it on Facebook, I'm posting it in the most visceral way I possibly can, because when you see that Anderson Silva fails another test.
That's three.
That's three tests that he's failed. He did come test clean on January 19th. So, you know, when you talk about cycling on and cycling off, I guess that's an important thing to nuance, because he was clearly thinking he could have cycled off by the time that they tested him week of, which obviously, if you look at the 19th test, which was 12 days before the fight,
right?
Yeah, he had cycled off of whatever it was he was on. But when you've got a guy like Anderson Silva that tests twice in one test and once in a secondary test, so bad in the secondary test that his camp doesn't even ask them to run sample B.
No, that's probably good. Go ahead with that one.
Right. So what that means, if you're not paying attention to how these work, is you get an A sample and a B sample. And if you feel that there's a problem, if you're one of those people that come out and go, you know, I don't think I took anything, I think this is a mistake.
What's funny is that's how they say it too. I don't think
right.
I took anything.
Well, I've spent all week going back and reading everybody's Twitter explanations. You know, as you go all the way back to 2008 and talk about Bigfoot Silva and his bust, where that's exactly what he says. I don't think I took anything. So they say, I don't think I took anything. And then they automatically go, we want you to test sample B just to make sure. Well, in the secondary test, Anderson's camp said, nah, you got us dead to rights. Don't worry about sample B.
They don't want to test it again, because when they test B, that'll be in the news again. They're trying to get by this at this point, which I think Anderson Silva can do, actually. I think it'll be interesting, because we're going to see what happens on, I guess it'd be the 17th with the Athletic Commission, since that's the day before the big press conference. We're all going to be looking at that. I mean, you've got Diaz with a couple of violations before, but what Anderson did, I think we all agree, on this show at least, was more egregious, because he's using steroids in a fighting condition.
Yeah, rules are rules, and I've said that before. Pot doesn't bother me, so I'm not somebody who's anti-pot, but if they say that you can't take pot, then you can't that's just the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I find that Anderson's is more egregious, and what I find interesting about your statement in connection to what they did to Anderson this week is fascinating, that, you know, could he get away with it? Is he out of the news cycle because of Hector Lombard in this press conference? And perhaps he is, and the Nevada Athletic Commission knew that, which is why they made him get booted off of Tough Brazil and replaced with Big Nog. They just wanted him out of the limelight, because if he gets away with it and still gets to be on TV and still gets to be an icon in his home country, what message does that send if guys like you and I are saying about how egregious it is that Anderson Silva is taking steroids? Now, when Joe Rogan does his rant this week, which you can catch on the Way of the Warrior Facebook page, one of the things he says is that if you take steroids and you're 39 years old, your leg is going to heal faster.
Yes.
And that doesn't excuse what he did, but probably gives you a mindset into what was happening. Is that, hey, if you just go the natural way, it's 18 months. But if you take this magic blue juice that looks like it came from Krypton, you can be fighting in 9.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I've had some health issues before. I've had situations with knee surgery and other back issues where I've been given steroidal treatments. They feel great, but you can't stay on them. And if you do, it'll kind of screw you up. So these guys have a real and tested method to, getting healthy. I'm not surprised at all that Anderson Silva did that. I mean, he clearly has a lot of doubt still with what's going on. He had that horrific injury, and he was trying to fix his leg. And, man, steroids will help you do it, but the problem is you can't be a fighter when you do that.
Yeah, you've got to make a choice. You're getting steroids because you don't fight for a living, right? You
talk. They're almost as fun as Coke. That's why.
Well, you talk for a living, but being comfortable is an important part of the health process. Mm-hmm. And steroids clearly can help you feel comfortable when you're dealing with leg, arm, neck, knee, whatever the issue is. It can help with some of the, speeding up that thing. But you're exactly right. You can't be a fighter. You should have just hung it up and said, look, I need these so that I can walk normally and continue to train like George St. Pierre is. You know, mm-hmm. he's training, he's not fighting.
Right.
I can continue to do that. I can coach Tough Brazil because you're not going to test me to coach Tough mm-hmm. Brazil. I can do some TV stuff down in Brazil.
He clearly was trying to walk a very tight line, which with a guy who, allegedly was going to make $6 million that got blocked from this fight can do. He can hire the guys to do it. He can say, hey, here's my 2-week window. And they were close, Eric. They were very close to staying clean in that window.
They were very close.
He, just like every other world-class athlete in the world, though, takes it to the extremes and presses it as far as he can to the limits. You know, I don't doubt that he could have gotten away with this if just one thing had changed inside this whole routine for him. I'm not sure what that thing was. Obviously, there's a lot of smarter dudes out there. But, I mean, if a guy like Hector Lombard is getting his hands on designer steroids, you're telling me that Anderson Silva wasn't pushing it all the way to the extreme there? Because he did. He was that close to getting into that fight and staying clean through the whole thing.
And nobody would have known, right?
Not a thing.
You know, and you alluded to this.
And he would have had 9 months because of the Ultimate Fighter season before yep. another fight.
Yeah, and you would have, you alluded to the $6 million that he was rumored to get paid, that it's being withheld.
Well, it's allegedly being withheld, allegedly being paid. There's a lot of allegedlies.
As you read into it, it's obviously illegal to withhold pay for somebody. However, there's a caveat to this that we will call the Cerrone caveat, and that is that when fighters get paid their money, chances are it doesn't stick around very long. And so the Nevada Athletic Commission, before Anderson gets to go in front of them, they're going to levy a fine against him and want to make sure that that fine gets paid, whatever that is. So there's, I think, a little bit of gray area in the withheld versus maybe they gave him a percentage of it and withheld some of it because they have the right to do that if they want to pay that fine.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Dave Scholler, who matchmakes for the UFC, has denied this 100%.
Of course he has.
I'm not saying he wouldn't do that, but I do want to say that on the air here. In the context of truth and
yes.
justice and the steroid way, I
yes.
guess. I don't know what we're talking about at this point.
They
but,
have obviously, yes, they've denied that. But again, lower tier fighters who aren't making $6 million a fight, because that's two people probably that make that much money, the Nevada Athletic Commission needs to make sure that it's their responsibility to make sure that, A, the fines are paid, and, B, that they can have the fighter pay the fine in the context of why they're being fined.
So what, I guess it'll be, we'll have a lot of questions answered next week, but man, if that is true, which the UFC says it's not, but if that is true, what kind of fine do you think they might be looking at a guy like Anderson Silva? Because you have to make the fine commiserate with the actions the guy and how much he makes. Because we saw the situation where John Jones was fined more and lost more in that Daniel Cormier scuffle that they had at the casino in Vegas. I believe it was MGM.
It was the MGM.
I'd have to look it up, but I want to say that John Jones was fined much more because he was going to make much more, and he's already made much more. So maybe they're looking at a guy like Anderson Silva saying, this true, he's going to be fined $500,000, $1 million.
Well, and we sort of talked about that with the time frame. You know, when Nick Diaz goes up on the 17th and they try and give him 9 months, they can't also give Anderson 9 months because, as we said, Anderson's is more egregious. It's now 3 tests that you've failed versus 1 test for marijuana metabolites that technically you have a license to take versus, Nick Diaz is kind of this new, testosterone replacement argument, right?
Gotcha.
Because he's got a license to do this stuff. He's not technically doing anything illegal, although it violates the rules. There's maybe a debate to have there. What I mean by that is you can't suspend both of them for 9 months across the board because that's hardly fair.
I think Joe made a good point, though, last week on the show. They could qualify that with simply saying, hey, Nick's been busted before. Yeah, he didn't do anything as egregious as Anderson, but it's still in the rules. He's broken the rules before. He should know better. I'm just very curious to watch this. I don't know what time. It's usually on like 1 or 2 o'clock Eastern for the NAC hearings, and those are always on Fight Pass. I do love how the UFC has been able to embrace licensing issues into their brand and to their digital platform.
Well,
and I'll be honest, that's the only thing I've really watched live on there a whole lot is some of these NAC hearings.
Well, because I feel it gives you a glimpse that you never get to see otherwise. We would have never seen the insanity that was that Vanderlei, John Jones, Cormier hearing was, you know, where they don't really
saying Vanderlei's giving it credit as if Vanderlei showed up.
He didn't show up, but that's what I mean.
That was the commissioner going, anybody seen Vanderlei? Hello, can you hear us?
I believe at one point they asked if they'd called him a couple times, and they said that they did.
Those are the most forgiving commissioners I think I've ever seen in the country. They'll let a guy like Snapchat in to a hearing because they love having fights in Vegas. Just 15 seconds at a time.
10-second answers that disappear.
They draw smiley faces on themselves. Like, well, good enough. Thank you for taking your time. We know you're very busy, Mr. Silva. Thank you for sending us your Snapchats. Here's your license.
Here you go, my friend. So, we'll talk in the next segment because that's not the end of the insane stories from this week. So we'll talk about that. But Silva's been kicked off Tough Brazil. He's been replaced by Big Nog, which some people are interested in, and I'll just kind of leave it here, that it wasn't Lil Nog because Lil Nog Shogun is a rematch that both of those guys kind of wanted to do, and that would have at least given you something to do at the end of it, because Big Nog Shogun probably not.
I don't think Shogun wants a fight, though, necessarily, that he's got a book this far out.
Yeah, I mean...
And there's another dude where he might be looking at the atmosphere around and goes, yes. I don't need to be grabbing a license at any point.
I'm good.
I'm just saying. I'm good.
All right, when we come back, we actually have a real fight this weekend. So we'll talk about the Valentine's Day card.
Guy's out of his weight class. And is that real? Is this a good idea? We saw what happened.
We'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the steroid-laden world of mixed martial arts. We were talking about Anderson Silva, Hector Lombard, and just about everybody else who's going to test positive this year, as I think it was Patrick Cote who tweeted this week and said, hey, you fans asked for better tests. We got you better tests.
Here we go.
This is what happens when you get the better tests. So we will continue to cover that. Like I said, Ken said... The commission will meet on the 17th, so you can catch that on Fight Pass. And then on the 18th, there will be...
I still love the timing of this. That's the UFC press conference. Yes, like, let's see how mad they are, guys. Like, let's not answer mom and dad until we see if they yell about this or not.
Yes, and then also this week, some bad news for Matt Brown, who's in an alleged assault of a former coach that happened on February 3rd. So some legal troubles for Matt Brown. So the UFC having to deal with a lot of stuff that I don't know that
I mean, I guess they got lucky he was already out of the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he was supposed to line up with Hendricks, though, wasn't he?
I guess, is that lucky? I guess.
I don't know.
So there's
How do you get in a fight with your BJJ instructor? Aren't you just doing that every day?
Why don't you just like strap on the belts and roll? Just solve it. Like
you can take care of that,
right,
bro. You don't have to like show up at a supermarket happened here.
Yeah, it's not like you work at Best Buy where you've got to go out in the parking lot and solve your arguments. You work in an environment where you could just fight it out.
You could go fight him.
You could literally just fight him and everything would be fine.
Come on, Matt Brown.
Some fun announcements this week. May 16th, UFC Fight Night. That's going to be the first time that they are in the Philippines with Uriah Faber and Frankie Edgar as the main event, which I'm very excited about. And I think it was Cage Potato who had the tweet of the week who said, if either of these two pop, we're done. We're shutting the doors on the website. we're done with, like, because these are the guys that you just rely on time in and time out to, you know, show up for the fight, be there for the fight, and do everything that they're supposed to do. Nurmagomedov and Cerrone, looks like they're going to ink that later on this year, an exciting fight that a lot of people are looking forward to. Jacare and Yoel Romero, that has been rescheduled for February 18th for UFC on Fox 15. And we head to New Orleans on June 6th as Daniel Cormier, in his own words, says he starts his climb back to the light heavyweight title as he takes on Ryan Bader. And
I really like that fight for him.
I love that fight.
Well, I know he wanted to go right back in there against a guy like Gustafsson or Machida, but I want that kind of fight for him to be able to reset. And, you know, if he doesn't win, he doesn't win. I'm not saying he's going to beat Bader, but I think in this case where he's got an opportunity to kind of have a showcase fight and get some of that confidence back. Because, I mean, that's a tough one. He thought 100% he was going in there to beat John Jones for the first time that anybody's beaten John Jones in his life. And, I think he did fairly well considering what we've seen John Jones do to people. But, it's something that can be taken out of you when you expect to go in and win, and that happens to you in the cage.
Well, and you do all that training, and you get it in front of a guy, and you go, I had no idea.
Nothing worked.
No idea how strong he was going to be. So, yeah, that's a great reset fight and a fun fight for the fans in the main event on that card that will take place in New Orleans. And if you missed this week on Twitter, Matt Mitrione and Andrei Arlovsky going back and forth.
Yeah, why are they going crazy? Now, Arlovsky doesn't want the fight because he says Mitrione's too low. So Mitrione shot back about him being ranked, what, 14th when he got a fight?
Correct.
Who was that fight against?
It
was the guy who was number four. I don't remember who it was at the time.
He fought Brendan Schaub, right?
Was it Schaub was
yeah,
number
was,
four?
Schaub was six or four or something like that. But Mitrione taking offense and exception to Andre putting so much stock in the rankings. And I don't know that I necessarily disagree that Matt Mitrione is one of the more dangerous guys in that division, because when he shows up, he shows up. And they were going to let him fight Stefan Struve, who before Stefan Struve had his heart condition was sixth. You know, so they were going to give him a...
Mitrione and Struve were going to fight?
Remember, and then Struve passed out, and they called that.
No, yeah, I remember that.
You know, but Struve was much higher ranked than Matt Mitrione, and they were going to make it a go, much like the DC Ryan Bader fight, a fun fight. And if he loses, he loses. But if he wins, he's right back in there, because you go, well, I mean, you beat Matt Mitrione, a game opponent who shows up all the time. I have no idea, first of all, how a guy like Andrei Arlovsky is in any position to call fights at all in that division, because he's so... not a guy who can that's his level, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't look at, and correct me if you disagree, but I don't look at Andrei Arlovsky and go, oh, you're totally going to see that guy fighting Stipe Miocic or Junior Dos Santos or Cain Velasquez.
I think that's where he sees himself, but he did respond to Matt Mitrione. He said he wants to make the fights that the UFC wants to make, essentially. So, I mean, this is a fun fight now. I mean, you got guys talking on Twitter.
Yes.
I'm looking at both of them. I'd love to see Mitrione in this fight. I'd love to kind of see where he is right now. And we, you know, Arlovsky, I think, sees himself in those fights that you just mentioned, but he's got to do a fight like this first before he's going to anywhere close.
Sure. I mean, and that kind of leads into what's happening this weekend, as Brandon Thatch was supposed to fight Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, a fun card for people who love mixed martial arts, but not one that the casual fans get to tune into until now, which is Brandon Thatch and Benson Henderson. Benson going up from 155 to 170, which I know
that's a big jump.
You're not a fan of.
No, I'm not a fan of it. I mean, he was... not having trouble at his own weight class, but against some of those top guys, he clearly was going a long time with them. I mean, you can argue whether or not he had that decision over Cerrone or not. I just think this is tough. I mean, he's going to be on a four-week turnaround? Five-week turnaround?
Yes, it wasn't quite Cerrone, but it was quick.
I mean, it's very quick, and you're up a weight class. I guess he doesn't have to do the cut, so he's going to see how he feels. I don't know what's going to happen here. Certainly for a casual fan, yeah, I'm seeing a former UFC champion, but I'm seeing him fight... I think it's going to be right at like 30 days or something. January 17th or 18th, I think, was that fight night against Donald Cerrone. So, yeah, I'm watching the card now, but I don't know if this is a smart move. And Thatch knows what he's doing.
Sure he does.
I mean, and I've seen some of the videos of him this week online. And again, I don't want to take a whole lot out of training videos or this or that, but this is a guy who's been training to fight a high-level fight at this weight class now for 6 to 8 weeks. And you've got a lighter dude coming in. He's not worried about Benson Henderson at all. Any edge that Benson has, not that he had anything against Cerrone or Dos Anjos going in, but those guys at least respected the fact he held a belt in their division.
Yeah, and
that's gone.
And when you compare those fights to this fight, yeah, Brandon Thatch has the weight advantage. He has the training advantage because he's had the time. Benson clearly has the in-ring experience that might come into play when you get into dangerous positions. But Brandon Thatch is no joke, and this is exactly why the UFC wanted to put these guys, being Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Brandon Thatch, in the main event on a Saturday night for people to check out, because they know that one of these two guys is going to be a breakout star. I'm not going to assign the Conor McGregor tag to everybody, but that's kind of course, what they're looking for. They want more breakout stars at whatever level.
Is he from Ireland?
Neither of them are from Ireland.
Damn it.
But
so close. So close.
Yes, so close to exactly what the UFC
Denver
wants.
Denver is the hometown of Brandon Thatch.
You know, so Brandon fighting in his hometown, and Benson clearly not. The other fight to, well, there's two. that I want you to pay attention to this weekend, and that's Neil Magny fighting Kunimoto. Why you should pay attention to this? Because nobody paid attention to the fact that Neil Magny won five fights in 2014.
Oh, wow.
Five fights in 1 year. He fought and won all of them. So this is his chance.
Those were, by the way, those are five UFC fights.
Yes. Yeah. No, he was in.
This isn't like X-Rage 17.
Yeah, he did not fight.
Return of the X-Rage.
He did not fight an X-Rage.
Guys, work on those names.
Whatever that was. He did not fight in that.
No, this was five UFC fights.
Five UFC fights in 1 year, and he won all of them. So took a little bit of a break, and now fighting Kunimoto. That'll be a fun fight. And then our boy, Kevin Lee, he's fighting Pazeres, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. Not a lot known about that guy, at least on my side of the laptop, but I know that Kevin Lee has had a great camp, finished up doing some training with some brilliant guys in the UFC. I know last night he was out at his very first hockey game in Denver.
So. Yeah, I saw that. How does a guy grow up in Detroit and never see a hockey game? I asked him, and he just said, yeah, I've never done it.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was at his first hockey game. He's clearly – what I love about not only – it's fun to know somebody who's going through this process, but what I love about Kevin going through this process is you can clearly see he's taking advantage of every opportunity he gets. You know, oh, I'm in Denver. I might as well go see the Avs play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of fun to see a kid that age get to go on this journey. Whatever the outcome is of not only the fight or his career, it's just fun to see he's taking advantage of everything that he possibly can.
Well, I think this Prezeris fight is set up a little bit for the UFC, too. They like Kevin Lee a lot. We
sure
can tell that
do.
Just
yes.
The positions he's been put on cards and opportunities he's been given. So this will tell us a lot. We'll see where he is in this. I know Sean says everything's going great. So we're going to get to see where he is in this camp and in this fight. So I'm looking forward to that one, too.
Well, and you and I love the MMA math. And if you rewind the clock a little bit, when he goes toe-to-toe with Ally Aquinta, nearly finishes him
right.
in the first round, and Ally Aquinta just brutalizes Joe Lozon, that's a fight.
Well, that was a fight, too, where a lot of guys, we didn't count out Ally Aquinta in that fight. We knew that was going to be a tough fight. That was a fight that he lost that fight, and everybody's like, oh, maybe this Kevin Lee guy isn't what we expected. Ally Aquinta is a great fighter, mm-hmm. and I don't think people quite expected that. You know, Kevin Lee's won Ultimate Fighter Finale. He won that fight.
Yes.
And then he beat John Tuck. At 178. So, he could be starting a nice role here. You just talked about fighters grabbing a couple of fights in a year. I mean, he's going for his third fight in the last 6 months. I think it is. I don't think it's that much farther off.
No. I mean, it obviously will cross 2 years, but still
right.
the time frame is the same. If you take five fights in 12 months, you take five fights in 12 mm-hmm. months. I don't know if it needs to fall on the calendar. It's still impressive. He's getting busy, and I think this is going to be a very, very fun fight and a fun card. If you're, if somehow you're able to escape the clutches of Valentine's Day and enjoy the UFC live and on Saturday night, more power to you. Or if you DVR it,
that tells me you're not able to escape those clutches. What does Mrs. Erica have planned for you guys?
I want to spend some time with Angie.
You don't see her every day?
No, I don't see her every
day, okay.
Actually. So I want to spend some time with
her. You don't have to have one day a year you show her love. You can show her love all year long.
It's almost like you work for ProFlowers. It's almost like you work for ProFlowers.
Use my code Ken, K-E-N, and you'll get a great deal.
There's a microphone up there. You can fill that out.
Blue microphone. Just want to let people know that as well.
All right. We will cover. You can follow everything along for UFC Fight Night this weekend on Twitter and Facebook. Joby Wan Kenobi has a sick son, so he will be on social media duty this weekend.
Shouldn't he be looking after his sick child?
I'm assuming.
I like how he's automatically assigned to do stuff. Your kid's sick.
I'm assuming that that'll be done.
In between taking temperatures.
Yes, in between.
And cleaning up vomit.
Yep, in between all of those things. You should.
He'll be
on.
Spoiling the hell out of UFC if you're even microseconds behind.
You should get on the Twitter sphere.
Oh, man.
So that'll
my
be
direct
happening.
TV can't keep up with him on Facebook. I think we're about 16 seconds off. Like, damn it, that fight's over?
Yeah, no, I know you hate when he spoils it, so we'll try and work on that.
Just
but
just to give it a pass, brother.
On Facebook and on Twitter, search WOW Show. And then not next week, but the week after, we will be live at Celebration the Thursday before UFC 184, which is Ronda and Kat Zingano. I know
it's a fight pending my agent's approval.
We are super excited about doing, so we will check that out and keep you posted.
Jenny, call my agent.
I'm sure she will. All right,
okay.
It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.